Shalom liyudim, shalom lebnei noach, shalom agoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Gimel Shvat, Parashas Bo, Tavshinayin Vav, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 12 January 2016, webcasting from the land of the people that dwells alone. And too many people on this planet still are uncomfortable with that. Leastwise, that is how I read the current flap about the government of the world's only Jewish state, unhappy with foreigners trying to control how we live in the Promised Land. That's how I understand the current distress of Europeans and Americans with Israel, trying to block those abroad who pour endless rivers of cash into the nation that never ever stops murdering us, taking their side. Millions, even billions of dollars and euros constantly refill the coffers sent by the Goyim, non-Jew nations, through the deceptive appellation NGOs, non-governmental organizations. Let's deprogram that, shall we? You all know my definition of anti-Semitism. Three words only, lying about Jews. And I submit that the very name NGO in this situation is more lying about Jews, lying when dealing with Jews. If these NGOs are receiving money from foreign governments, as they do, via these foreign organizations as well, then these are not non-governmental organizations, these NGOs. They are disguised as such, but remain the creatures of Goyim, with quite a scorecard over thousands of years of hallucinating Jews doing evil and constantly murdering Jews in this period on the basis of these wicked fairy tales. Today, for example, the foreign ministress of Sweden, that as far as I know has never apologized for serving the Nazis during World War II under the lie of neutrality, she accused Jews today of being murderers, really. Killing the so-called Palestinians for no good reason. Extrajudicial killing is the current euphemism. In effect, Ms. Wallstrom was accusing us of wanton murder. Incidents that have to be investigated, she said, and obviously by non-Jews, non-Israeli foreigners would do the investigating. She was basically accusing Israeli soldiers of acting like Arab terrorists, murdering people at random for no good reason. She is, of course, hallucinating. And because Ms. Wallstrom and too many other Europeans still cling to age-old anti-Semitic hostility, they're unhappy with Israel's self-defense against these phony non-governmental organizations, so-called, which really are the long arm, the tentacles of governments who contribute to the EU or the European Endowment for a Democracy, which last month shoveled 30,000 euros to Bezalem, whom even the moderate centrist former GSS chief Avi Dichter says must be investigated for criminal behavior following that revelation last week. And who or what is the European Endowment for Democracy? Its mission statement is to support democracy, and its members are the governments of 18 states and the European Union bureaucracy, the so-called continental government. In other words, the distinguished EED, the Endowment, European Endowment for Democracy, is a front organization for 18 national governments and the EU itself. So when the EED writes to the non-governmental B'Tselem organization a fat check, it's really the handiwork of governments. The EED is a scam. And in Israel's case, one of this generation's tolerated forms of the spiritual virus of anti-Jewitis that mutates from generation to generation, country to country, continent to continent. For example, never in history prior to the 20th century was there one protest on the planet about Jews murdering Palestinians at random. That's a 20th century accusation. The charge that the Jews had stolen Palestine from the Palestinians. Before then, the Jews were guilty of other crimes. And today, post-Holocaust, the cosmic lunacy of Nazism has been completely discredited, so you need a new one. Itself, Nazism was the outgrowth of the crackpot theories of anti-Semites in the 19th century, who tried to understand why people hated Jews then. Since they themselves, by the middle of the 19th century, were post-Christian, they could no longer perpetrate the age-old deicide charge. They themselves did not believe in the divinity of the man from Nazareth, though the Jews were no longer guilty, as they had been in every generation, of murdering him. No, the anti-Semites who came into being in post-Christian Europe were crackpot theorists with pseudo-intellectual, pseudo-scientific theories of race. They did not recognize the Jews as a nation, but a race, which is an idea that could not be crazier. We are arguably the most racially mixed nation on the earth. We come in all skin colors, hair textures, shape of eye. Originally, anti-Semitic theorists did not contemplate the physical extermination of Jews. They wanted to explain why, in a post-Christian culture, people still hated them and were uncomfortable in their presence. For its first few decades, anti-Semitism was basically an effort to isolate and keep the Jews from entering into European society. They had been liberated in the beginning of the 19th century from their ghettos. Only after many decades of anti-Semitic theorizing did Nazism arise and begin to preach extermination. So the Holocaust put an end to anti-Semitism and to Nazism as acceptable modes of thought. But since 1967, when Israel finally came into possession of Jerusalem for the first time since the year 63 BCE, the world came up with a new form of anti-Jewitis called Palestinian nationalism. It's this generation's acceptable form of hallucinatory Jew hatred. And now that the government of Israel is fighting against these phony baloney NGOs that are really fronts for hostile European peoples and their governments and other anti-Jew organizations like the Jews in the New Israel Fund, World Anti-Jewry has finally got its back up. How dare you Jews try to stop us from steering the ship of the Jewish state? On Sunday, 2 days ago, according to J-Post, Likud MK Yoav Kish said the EU must stop funding building in the West Bank during a tour of Judea and Samaria sponsored by the Knesset's Land of Israel Caucus. Quote, he said, a war is being waged over Area C. It seems that between, that's close quote, it seems that between 2012 and 2014, the EU put up 400 small prefab homes for Ishmaelites in Area C and even left stickers on the buildings advertising themselves as the sponsors. And of course, these homes are now lived in by Ishmaelites. This is a blatant violation of the Oslo documents. And again, like the EED, the EU is a front organization of European governments, peoples, all of them with a crappy record in history when it comes to Jews. So Avi Dichter is right. B'Tselem must be investigated as a criminal enterprise. For sure, in my view, they all already are guilty of treason and betrayal, like the fourth son at the Passover Seder table, who cuts himself off from his family and symbolically the whole Jewish people. This grant to B'Tselem is described on the EED's website under the heading, quote, Combating Anti-Democratic Laws Aiming to Silence Opposition, close quote. This is the language of the EED, the European Endowment for Democracy. It sees in Ayala Chakhed's bill an anti-democratic law to silence the opposition. That's insane. It's meant to silence anti-Jew Europeans. The EED writes, B'Tselem is working with a coalition of organizations to counter legislative attempts to restrict the work of NGOs that defend human rights and expose Israeli government policy in the occupied Palestinian territories. That's three capital letters there. B'Tselem is itself a human rights organization and a leading voice in denouncing human rights violations in the OPT. That's three capital letters. And for this language alone, B'Tselem must be judged an enemy of the Jewish people. The very language, occupied Palestinians, is prime evidence of this betrayal. It lies about Jews by using the term occupied, and it faces the region's Jewish names in favor of the name used by murdering Arabs and Muslims. Like in Auschwitz, Jews lost their human Jewish names and were branded like cattle with a serial number. Now, in our generation, they are denied the right to use the terms Judea and Samaria. Those are biblical terms we hear, and we don't want to turn this conflict into a religious clash. Okay, I say, no more biblical names? All right. Then we must develop substitutes for Gaza. Can't say that. Hebron, can't say that. Golan, can't say that. Jericho, Jaffa, Beersheba, and of course Jerusalem, can't say that either. I will not be surprised when it becomes politically incorrect to use the name Jerusalem. The politically correct will insist. Its name is Al-Quds. So, in addition to the building of hundreds of small homes, prefabs for Arabs in Area C, the EU is also building a road in Area C from Gush Etzion east down toward the Dead Sea. As Israel has planned and never followed through, it appears so far to be another blatant trashing of Oslo by the Europeans and developing this road in Judea, whence the word Jew comes. Arush Sheva's report today cited the pro-Jewish Israeli NGO Regavim, meaning clumps of earth, that has complained about this 6 months ago, but the government did nothing, and Gavim also claims that the EU has instructed that this project, funded by the EU, is consciously intended to, quote, gnaw away at Area C and appropriate its land, close quote. See what I mean? The EU is a front for European governments to hide behind in their support for the Arabs here, who in World War II sided with Hitler and have not let any years go by since the war without murdering Jews. These are people whose views are publicly available on PATV, and there's no other word for it. It's an anti-Semitic operation, PATV, spewing more hallucinatory lies about Jews. And I want to know why. I mean, I ask why. Why are the Europeans doing this when it's hard to gauge the concrete benefit for these countries? I mean, there's no economic benefit. The Arabs produce damn little that the Europeans want. What would be so bad if Europe stopped giving its support to them? Well, there is some rationale for this support, the history of this support. My book explains it. Europe became, in the 1970s, a supporter of the Palestinians out of necessity in order to buy them off, because there was so much terrorism going on in Europe by Arabs against Jews and any Europeans who supported them. The classic case, the most notorious case in that decade of Arab terrorism in Europe, was the Olympic Munich Games horror. In that decade, there were numerous horrors in Europe connected to the Arab war against us. And by the end of the decade, 1980, Europe collectively waved the white flag and blessed the PLO as no longer a syndicate of terror cells, but a legitimate political actor in the world with a legitimate cause. And the cause, the Jews had stolen Palestine from the Palestinians, and they demand justice. So, from a practical standpoint, it made sense for the Europeans to surrender and become supporters of the PLO, basically tributaries, like the Barbie pirates demanded tribute. But I suspect the ancient flame of Jew hatred in Europe never really went out. After World War II, it flickered, but after 1967, the flame grew tall again. I also suspect that the United States, led by the anti-Semitic Muslim secret agent of the White House, is driven in its opposition to the pending legislation here by age-old Islamic Jew hatred. How else to explain the meeting on Sunday between Mistress of Justice Ayala Shaked and the American ambassador Dan Shapiro, the latest American Jew boy errand boy in that office? He was likely ordered by his immediate superior John Kerry, the grandson of apostates descended from Aaron, brother of Moses, to express the American opposition to this Israeli attempt to defend itself against these front organizations, these NGOs representing peoples with a long record of anti-Jew hostility. The day after Shaked was quoted saying of the EED grant B'Tselem, grant to fight her bill, because the EED said it's an anti-democratic bill. She said, quote, "It is the right of every Israeli organization to oppose the legislation, but she found it very puzzling in her eyes that foreign governments send out their long arm into an internal legislative process, and that is not theirs." Indeed, that's what I thought when this story broke. In the name of democracy, these hypocrites at the European Endowment for Democracy are trying to interfere in the democratic process here when the EED does not have citizenship in this country. Democracy is a synonym for self-rule, and Europeans are not included in the Israeli self. In the name of democracy, they aggress against Israel's democracy. And like B'Tselem too, the language of the EED is OPT, Occupied Palestinian Territories, which is a verbal aggression against the Jewish state. Israel's position since 1967 is that the ownership of Judea and Samaria is undecided and to be decided via mutually respectful negotiations. But calling it the OPT, one says no to that idea. According to the OPT types, there's nothing to decide or negotiate. This real estate belongs 100% to the ancient ones. There's nothing to talk about except Israel's retreat, Israel's expulsion from these areas, because Israel is occupying Palestinian territory. That's what the OPT means. That is the meaning. It's an indictment, these three letters, and an accusation and a verdict, all in one. And that B'Tselem uses this nomenclature is evidence of its criminality, for they are siding with Israel's mortal enemies, those who every day plot to murder us and destroy our country and steal our homes and orchards. It's all a projection. The Arabs are forever shrieking that we are stealing their land when this is camouflage for their hunger to steal our land. And then, of course, joining the anti-Jew whining about this pending legislative maneuver are the soulmates of the American Jew boy Daniel Shapiro in the once courageous ADL, Anti-Defamation League. Its current head honcho, Jonathan A. Greenblatt, also opened his PISC, that's Yiddish for mouth, from the Hebrew pay, and objected to the tarring of NGOs and those holding certain political perspectives. This threatens to erode Israel's very democratic character and could significantly harm Israel's international legacy, close quote, from the ADL. Sounds heavy. Translation, this will only make the Goyim like you even less. Thank you. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. One amusing event this week was the weird coincidence of B'Tselem being exposed last week as complicit in murder and the burning down of its offices. The other night, everyone, yours and truly included, assumed it was another case of arson by some out-of-control psycho right-winger. The left immediately poured buckets of hatred and contempt on the prime minister. Peace Now leader Yariv Oppenheimer called it an act of terrorism carried out by Netanyahu and his ministers. The head of the Arab faction in the Knesset, Ayman Odeh, said the fire was ignited by the government and the man who heads it. But then it turned out it was no arson, just an electrical fire. It was interesting, though, to see the likes of Yariv Oppenheimer expose himself as irresponsible and a slave to his hatred. To pass judgment like that without any evidence is simply the work of a dishonest person for whom facts are secondary, emotion primary. That is the basis of the Israeli left and its war against the Jews in Judea and Samaria. It's wholly psychological, from the Greek word psuche, for soul. From the depths of their souls, they snarl at us Jews who make our homes in Judea and Samaria. It exposes, and not for the first time, their irrational, truly non-rational confrontation with reality, our reality, the reality of the Jewish people who have restored this land that used to lay barren and did for thousands of years to habitability for a thriving Jewish community. The left continues to smoke the water pipe packed with the delusion that evacuating Judea and Samaria would bring peace. It's as if they don't read the newspapers, don't read Palestinian Media Watch and Memory.org, don't watch television, the news. The opposition to our existence as a free people in our land predates Israel's conquest of Judea and Samaria. Ergo, in a strange way, in contrast to their chatter, the settlements literally have nothing to do with the hatred of our neighbors. The first Zionist Congress convened in 1897, and it would take another two decades for the Balfour Declaration to be written and support what that Zionist Congress asked for. A few years later, the League of Nations came to life and awarded the East Bank of the Jordan River to the Arabs and the West Bank to the Jews. And for the next 50 years, the Arabs murdered Jews all the time. It had nothing to do with the occupation of Judea and Samaria. What happened in 1967 is not the root of their opposition. And in this sense, the occupied territory is irrelevant to the rational mind. But the left is not rational. Maybe it once was, but not in our time. That's why I say today the divide is no longer between left and right, progressive and conservative, sane and the insane. I personally find it weird and not healthy that in the current election campaign in the United States, I could vote for any one of several Republican candidates versus the opposition when there's not even one. That's not healthy for a good democratic society to be so one-sided. You all saw, I imagine, how the latest expose of Hillary's emails reveals a plot by the ex-ambassador here, Timothy Pickering, to organize political demonstrations among the Ancient Ones to shame Israel into returning to talks in which they will at the end give away what the God of Israel promised them, proving once again their betrayal of him as they betrayed his Messiah, the man from Nazareth. Pickering wants something like that. Pickering is, in diplomatic circles, a seasoned, well-known anti-Jew. His big idea should not surprise, and of course it's no surprise that Hillary the Witch comes across taken with the idea. This is a woman without an original thought in her head, and I suspect all her emails will show that she is forever looking for direction, uncritically. She's only a creature of the conventional wisdom in order to be politically in step with popular opinion in her circles. That's not a leader. In her 4 years in the Senate, she led the passage of three bills only. One was to establish the Kate Mullaney National Historic Site in the state of New York. A second bill to name a post office, the Major George Cuomo Post Office Building. And the third, a bill to designate a highway in New York as the Timothy J. Russert Highway, named for the former journalist. Whoop-dee-doo. Okay, that's it for this Tuesday night. Be back, God willing, on Thursday night. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.